Make it count. One more time. Everyone say, make it count. Come
make
on.
It.
The message this morning is a word of encouragement for the church and for believers. We've been focusing on our core value of making a difference for several weeks now, really for the last month. And just one step further today, bear with me, guys, in this area of growth. Make it count. I'm going to be going to James chapter 4 in our teaching this morning. Also going to allude this morning to the book of Jonah. How many of you guys remember the Old Testament story of the book of Jonah and the big fish? Y'all remember that one? We'll talk about that a little bit today. But first, let's thank God and pray. How many love the word of God this morning? Did you love the word? Amen. Y'all pray with me and ask God to bless me today. Father, I love you. I thank you, God, for my opportunity and great privilege to share your word this morning. Thank you for your presence in this house, the joy that we feel, the celebration of your presence that we feel. God, for the next few minutes, I just pray that you just penetrate our lives and our hearts, our minds, draw us closer to your plan, your purpose for our life, God. If somebody is here today who doesn't know you, Lord, God, I pray that today is that pivotal decision day, that day of encounter with you, Lord. Let somebody's life be changed over the next few moments. We just love you and praise you, Father. Lord, for all that you're doing in and through this local church. And this morning also, Lord, I pray for other churches, all the other churches in our community where truth is being preached, God, where people are loving you and serving you. God, I pray that you bless them as you bless us. Help them to prosper. Help them to be flourish and to experience your blessings, Father. We love you and thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Come on, one more time. Can you clap and give God a great praise this morning? I want to take a few moments this morning and just kind of break down James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Then I'm going to allude to the book of Jonah for just a few moments because that story has got so much to do with our life that we don't realize. But first, look with me in James chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. How many know life is short? And also, life is filled with uncertainties. Maybe you've noticed that. And sometimes we make plans and assume that everything's going to go the way we expect it to go. But look what verse James 4:13 says. It says, come now, you who say, tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. This is kind of a euphemism of James here. He's saying, come on now. Come on. You people who are still expecting everything to go the way you think it's going to go, haven't you learned yet that really you're not in control? God's the one who's in control. Don't expect everything to always go the way you planned it. Really, don't get so excited about what you want to do and forget that ultimately what God wants is more important than what you want. Amen, everybody. Because you don't really know what tomorrow holds. So it is essential for us to acknowledge that life is unpredictable and that our plans may not always come to fruition. Sometimes we want something to happen so badly and we're left disappointed when God steps in and helps us to understand that he really wanted something else to happen in life. How many of you have ever been there before? Probably all of us. And this is a truth that may be unsettling, but it's a reminder that every day presents an opportunity for growth and an opportunity for us to rely upon the Lord. Let's read a step further in our next verse, in verse 14. He says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. The verse 14 says that our lives are compared to a vapor. That quick. It appears for a little while and then just poof, vanishes away. It's a reminder to us this morning that life is so short and life is so precious. We need to make sure that we're making it count for God. It means that we need to be in the habit of asking ourselves on a daily basis what truly matters and how we can make it count every single day to fulfill His plan and have an impact on the people all around us. Life is a vapor, make it count. Come on, somebody say, make it count this morning. Verse 15, he instructs us a little bit further. He says, instead, you ought to say this, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. If the Lord wills. See, James chapter 4 and verse 15 in our root text this morning urges us to have the attitude that relies upon the will of God more than our own will in this life. Instead of making our own plans in isolation, apart from considering what God really wants for us, we need to seek God's will in everything that we do. When we align our intentions and our attitudes and our purposes with God's plans, you'll begin to find peace and true assurance along the journey of this short vapor of a life. Because being in the will of God and doing what He inspires us to do is really the only way, church, to navigate all these uncertainties with great faith and with great hope. We need to be concerned with doing what God wants us to do in this life. Can you receive it this morning? Verse 16, looking further, it says, boast now in your ignorance. You're boasting now in your, all such boasting is evil. Verse 16 warns us against the dangers of boasting in our own plans. It's easy to get prideful and get self-reliant in this vapor of a life, thinking that we actually have some kind of control. But how many realize you're going to do a lot better by going ahead and realizing and acknowledging today that you're not the one that's in control. God is the one in control. And since life is just a vapor, we need to remain humble and acknowledge that every opportunity that you have throughout your day and throughout your week, every chance you have to engage life and people is a great gift from God. It's not up to you, it's up to God to provide you with your opportunities. Finally, this morning, look at verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. In this final message, the scripture in verse 17 says, therefore, if you know what to do with your time and you don't do it, to you, that's a sin. In other words, making it count to do always do what God says to do. It's not enough to merely avoid the wrong things. We must also actively pursue to do obedient things and set out to make it count by doing the things that God leads us to do. It's not enough just to avoid the wrong things. We need to make sure that we are committed to doing the things that God wants us to do. That's how you're going to make it count every day. Sometimes I think in this religious life that all of us were brought up to live in, we think we're doing okay if we just avoid enough sin and avoid enough of the wrong things. We can check off our good box. But here's the truth this morning, church, in this discipleship moment right now. Understand that just avoiding the bad stuff is not enough. God intends for you to actively pursue His plans and do what He says to do. Making it count involves choices that align with God's plan and His will every day of our lives. And I don't know what that looks like for you and your family. It could mean making it count by helping people. It could mean reaching out to people with the message of the gospel in your life. It could be making it count by starting to see your job as a mission field rather than just a paycheck. Y'all hear me this morning? Make it count. See where God places you with great purpose. It could mean setting up your business in some way that counts toward the advancement of God's kingdom. It could mean making a difference for God in the lives of your employees or your coworkers. It could mean starting to prioritize your activity in this life of the church, serving and giving in ways that really do count more than ever before. But whatever it means for you this morning, God intends for you to have a commitment today to understand that your life is just a moment. Your life is a vapor. It's just a moment. It's just a blink. Bible says, what is your life? It's just a moment. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow. It's just a little time and then poof, it's gone. That means that he wants your every day to get up in the morning and be a very big deal for his causes and his purposes in your life. And we need to embrace this morning that commitment to start making it count to the people in your life. Why? Because the people in your path every day are counting on you to give them what God has inspired you to give them. His plans are how he intends to use you and to use your vapor. And that confronts us pivotally. Because most of us have a tendency to get so eat up with what we want to do and how we want to live and the things that we want to do in life and the places that we want to go that God's will and his plan becomes an afterthought. But this morning I want to come with this encouraging message that if you'll finally say yes to the things of God and begin to make it count for him, you'll begin to achieve greater things than your plan will ever get you. Can you say a good amen right there? To help us get there this morning, I want to rely upon this famous Old Testament Sunday school story that we're all familiar with, the story of Jonah. How many of you guys remember the story of Jonah and the big fish? Y'all remember this one? When I was a kid, every time I heard that story, my imagination would just run wild. It was a great story. I always wondered what kind of fish is this that could swallow a person, keep him in his belly for 3 days, and then spit him back out again. Isn't that a one? She said a grouper. You know, I'm not sure I want to catch that grouper. I did wonder, though, what that fish looked like. And this week as I was reading over the story, I was reminded of the time that Karen and I went to a fancy restaurant and I ordered something that I had never ordered before. I ordered the wolf fish. I don't know if you've ever had the wolf fish, but it was the best fish that I had ever eaten. It was wonderful. I told the waiter, I'd like to pay compliments to the chef on the wolf fish. And it was fantastic fish. It was wonderful. It was on a bed of rice and had a side of spaghetti squash. Do y'all like spaghetti squash? Yeah. Oh, sure. Put a little butter on it. Any of y'all know how to make spaghetti squash? Here's what the waiter said. He said, okay, I'll tell him, but listen. He said, whatever you do, don't go look up wolf fish. Because you don't want to see what it was you just ate. He said, if you really like it, don't go looking it up because it's the nastiest looking fish and you'll never eat it again. So promise me that you'll never look it up and see what you just ate. So naturally, as soon as we left the restaurant, I was on my phone looking it up. And I found out that what I was eating was this guy right here. Check him out. I don't know what part I ate, but I know it wasn't the face, okay? It definitely was not the face. It was good. It's the wolf fish. Now, that's a nasty-looking critter, but I promise you, he is very, very tasty. Don't you want to try one now? I'm going to rely on this story from Jonah to help us make it count this morning because this story is a perfect example for us today of exactly what we have to deal with in life if we're going to make it count for God. There are five little areas of life that we need to deal with to take the step toward living significantly for God. Just five. Are you ready? Come on. If you're ready, say, I'm ready. Here we go. Number one, we have to deal with our own disobedience. Dealing with our own disobedience. Jonah's story begins with a clear call for him to go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver a message of repentance from God. But Jonah chose to go the other direction and ignore what God had inspired him to do. In fact, the Bible says in Jonah 1, look what he did. Jonah 1, 3, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Flee from the Lord. Notice that Jonah chose to disobey God's command to make a difference, and he fled in the opposite direction of what God told him to do. And that brings me to a question this morning. How many times has God put something on our hearts to do, somebody to talk to, a plan to make, a direction to go, a calling to step out and do something that really counts, but instead of saying yes to God, how many times have we turned around and gone the other way, gone our own way instead? You've probably found out the same thing that I have found out, that when there is a path in front of us that we want to take instead of what God wants to take, and we take our own path, then that path usually leads to a path of destruction because we disobeyed the Lord. And just like Jonah, if you're avoiding that great thing that God has called you to do because it does not align with your plans, you're going to be stuck until you go back and do the thing that God has told you to do. I want to say that once more. If you step out and avoid what God has told you to do and do your thing instead, you're going to be stuck until you go back and do what God has told you to do. Here's a principle for you to write down this morning, or write this down. Please hear me. God does not take you past your last point of disobedience. God doesn't take you past your last point of disobedience. If you're among those who need to stop spinning your wheels and finally start making it count every day for God, you need to go back and figure out when was your last point of disobedience and go that way and obey His plan first. Because He won't take you to your next until you finish your first. There are so many people that need to understand this. I talk to people all the time, and they want to know, why is it, Pastor Brandon, that this or that is not working out for me and my family, me and my significant other? Why is it that I just keep spinning my wheels? And most of the time we figure out that, you know what, maybe you're in the situation you're in because you've been pursuing your own way instead of pursuing God's way. Right. Y'all should say a good amen right there. Come on. Amen. Dealing with your own disobedience. Because if you stay in disobedience long enough, you know you're going to face some serious storms. And that's number two. Deal with the storms of life. If you're going to make it count, you're going to have to deal with some of life's storms. Jonah boarded a ship and went away from his mission. Away from it. Scripture says this. Word of God says over here in verse number 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. And there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was broken up. I like to think of that sea right there as an act of mercy from God. See, it's really God's grace, and in His mercy, God allowed the storm to come to disrupt Jonah's plans. I've been in so many situations and scenarios in my own life when a storm would come, or I'd go through something tedious and something dreadful, and usually it was because God allowed me to go through the thing. And if I really think about it, had I gone backwards and done what God said to do in the beginning, I wouldn't have faced the storm after all. How many realize this morning, God's plan is always better than your plan? Can y'all receive that today? If you ever wonder why something that you set out to do is not working out, why at every turn you're facing some obstacle, because your plans are more difficult than they should have been. And so many people go through this in life. Nothing you do seems to count. You're in a spinning cycle, a wheel of trial and error. You take one step forward and it seems like you take two steps backward. Church, hear me. It could be that God is letting you go through it because He wants you to reevaluate your choices and get back in His plan that He has for you. Your storms, church, can be great opportunities for growth and for transformation. But if what you do is going to count for God, we need to stop fighting the storm and make sure that your face is fixed upon accomplishing His plans and not your plans. That's how you're going to make it count. I've experienced this many times. Number 3, look closely. If it's going to count, you got to deal with your debts. Everybody say your debts. Come on. You got to deal with your debts. The third thing you're going to have to deal with in life are your depths in life. These are those times when, like Jonah, in the middle of his storm, Jonah found himself thrown overboard and swallowed by that great fish. It meant that he was really at the end of his life. He was on the bottom rung. Your depths are those times when you know that there's nowhere to turn but to God. Have you ever been in some of those times in life? You don't know what to do. You don't know what to do anymore. When you've suffered and you don't see your way out. When you face things in life that you hoped you never have to face. And like Jonah, all you can do is call on God. The Bible says this in chapter 2 and verse 1. Look what happened to Jonah. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And here's what Jonah said. I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Church, your depths are those episodes in life when you feel like you've been swallowed up and you feel like you're about to be spit out. But here it is this morning. You can be assured that when you're in your depths and when you're desperate and you cry out to God, he will answer you. Whether you're in the depths because of your own choices or you're in the depths because of the choices of somebody else in your life, other people, God will answer you in your depths. And what I hope to see this morning from this is that your depths in life, those tedious times when you go through something that you just wish you didn't have to go through, and you wonder how you're going to make it through, it's in those times when God will use your experiences to really make it count in the lives of the people around you. I'm going to share a private part of my testimony for just a moment to help illustrate this point. It's a episode in my testimony that very few people have ever heard before. There was a season in my life years ago when I actually thought about leaving the ministry. It happened to me over the course of about 7 or 8 months. I had gotten so discouraged at one point. I had been lied to from church leadership. I had been abused and misused and washed up. I was a young man. Karen and I were only married a few years, and we were young and idealistic, and we thought everything was going to go one way, and all of a sudden we ran into some people who had a different kind of agenda. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I was beat up and hurt. And the enemy tried to attach this attitude on my life and tried to get me to give up on God's plan for my life. I was really running the risk of becoming one of those precious people who waste too much of their lives complaining about being church hurt. I was about to be me. But right in the middle of that depth of my life, God did something amazing. He gave me an experience that changed my life forever. I'm going to tell you what it was. Right in the depths of that moment of weighing the balance of bearing down and pursuing God's will or going and doing something that I felt like might be safer and it might be healthier and it might be easier. Right in the middle of that depth, with my gut churning about which way to go, God did something one day in class. Karen and I were taking classes. He dropped a bomb on me. Karen told me that she was pregnant with Josh. And about that same time was when I was on the search of really riding that seesaw, that teeter-totter of really jumping in all with God's will or getting off and going doing my own thing. God, one day when Josh was born, he was a big old huge baby. I set him right here on my chest. I looked at him and I prayed for him. And God changed my life in the hospital at West Alabama Hospital in Opelika. As I held my own son, my life was changed because here's the thought that came into my spirit. What kind of father would give his only son. Because as I held my own child, I knew that had the entire world been on the line, I would never give him up. But what kind of father would give his only begotten son because he loved me so much and he would be willing to forgive me? And in that moment, I realized that, you know what? I owe him, my old buddy, and my family, and my future. I owe them a yes to God. Not a struggling life of searching, but a life of saying yes to the things of God and to the will of God. And you know, when Josh was just 2 weeks old, we packed up and moved, and I took a position at a church. And my life has never been the same. It was in the depths of that decision moment of whether to pursue God's plan or to pursue my own plan that God did something special and showed me exactly what his will was for my life. And the same thing will happen to you if you'll give God the opportunity in the depths. Don't give up. Come on, somebody say, don't give up. You hang on to God. You hang on to his will. Hang on to your dedication and your commitment to do what God has called you to do and to go out here every day and make it count for God. Because he'll do number four in your life. He'll give you a second chance. Come on. Everybody say second chance. When God gives you a second chance, you need to deal appropriately with God when he gives you another chance. In a miraculous act of love and mercy, back to our story, God caused that big fish to spit Jonah back up on the dry land, and he was given that second chance. Look at the word of the Lord said, Jonah 3:1. Now the word of the Lord came to him a second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. Now this time, after running from God, after going through storms, after desperate prayers in the depths of his life, Jonah found out that his life was really short. It was just a vapor. And that what he needed to do was align his plan with God and begin to make it count, guys. He finally, after all that, decided to obey the Lord. And we need to remember this morning that our God is full of grace and he is full of mercy. And when we waste time pursuing our own plans, he is still willing to extend second chances to help us get back on the right path. Aren't you thankful this morning for your second chances? Aren't you thankful that those times in life when we told God no, he was still right there on the edge waiting for us to return so he could say, come on, just try again. Yeah. Isn't it wonderful to have somebody in your life to look at you and say, come on, you can do it, just try again. And your Heavenly Father never gives up on that. He extends second chances into your life. When we return to obedience to him, when we get excited about making a difference and making it count, God will use us for his purposes. And church, when God gives you that great second chance, take advantage of your opportunities from God. Don't be like the man who has to go through something time and time again and be stubborn about it and then go through it again and again and never seems to learn. Be like the guy that learns right now. I know I sound like some of your parents. They said, how many times must you go through this before you finally learn? I'm sure God says the same thing to us from time to time. Learn that lesson right now and jump into God's purpose and make it count every day. It's the reason Jesus came to this world. Hear me out. It's the reason why Jesus came to this world and gave his life so that you could be reborn. He called it born again in John chapter 3. It's why he came. See, when you've wasted that first chance of life and finally realize that when you do your own thing, you're going to get stuck until you go back and decide to do God's thing. You can go to Jesus and say, you know what, Lord, forgive me. I trust you. I believe in you. And he says, okay, my child, now you can finally get born all over again and start fresh and start brand new. It means that when you, this life has been wasted in sin, wasted in self-reliance. You've got a second life going in your salvation. Anybody in here grateful for your salvation this morning? You've got a second life in your salvation. And in your salvation, life looks differently than it did when you were in the world. Why? Because you've been given another chance. It's a second chance. It's a chance to finally put your own will and your own plans and your own self-reliance and all the things that you would rather do behind you and finally get serious about the things that God is serious about. It's a second chance. It's being born again. And that brings me to number five. You can finally deal with transformation. Transformation. Transformation of the people around you in your world. See, children of God, hear me. God intends for you to be an instrument of transformation in the lives of the people around you. You may even be the one that God can use to spark a revival. You may be the one that God can use to bring transformation in revival to your home. He may use you to be the spark of revival in your church. Yesterday we were here having First Saturday prayer meeting. This is a prayer service that we have every first Saturday of the month, every month at 8:30 in the morning on the first Saturday. And we had people here praying and seeking the Lord and worshiping God and going into deep prayer, deep worship yesterday morning, and it was amazing. And I was kneeling right down there praying at times thinking, Lord, could this be it? Could this be the moment? Could this be that pivotal time when you use us to spark something great? And I believe it's time. I said, I believe it's time for God to do a great revival. When we get hungry for the things of God, God begins to pour himself toward us. You're an instrument of transformation. When Jonah finally obeyed, something remarkable happened. Here's what he did. He obeyed the Lord to go to Nineveh. And here's what happened to Nineveh. It says the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast. They put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. God transformed the great city because Jonah was an instrument of transformation. I want to end the thoughts today by going back to the very beginning. Back to James chapter 4 for just a moment, because we said this, life is short. Have you realized that yet? God has a purpose and he's got a plan. For what is your life in 4 and 14? What is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. It's just a vapor. It's all you've got. It's just a moment. And this morning, as we begin to pray and seek the Lord, I want to challenge you with this thought. What are the things that God has given you in your life? Those incredible initiatives, those ideas, those people who desperately need the gospel. Those ministry dreams, those ideas, those efforts that are going to finally make a difference. My challenge to us this morning is to assess. The scripture is all about time today. Consider your life. Assess the investment that you're making with your vapor. Because if God has given you a big dream to accomplish for Him and His purposes, He doesn't intend on somebody else doing it. He intends for you to do it. Oh, I've got so many dreams for God. None more important than just being the shepherd, seeing people grow toward their great calling in God. I want to challenge you with this thought before we close and go. Sometimes the enemy douses your life with the kind of discouragement that seems to put a cap on the dreams for God. And the change it makes us go through is we stop believing that God can do anything great through us. We think, well, God must be going to use somebody else to do that great thing or to reach that person or to be a great light on my job, or I sure wish God would send someone into our home or into our family to make a great difference. No. God can use you to do it. Make it count. You've got a vapor, man. It's going quick. You got to make the choice this morning, right now, today, that your life is going to look different. Because you know what? He doesn't intend for your second life to look like your first life. He doesn't intend for your new birth to look like your old birth. Are y'all hearing me this morning? That old man who used to serve himself and be concerned with the ways of the world and the burdens and the worry and the worldliness and the things that are being issued and handed down in this world. You know the Bible says, behold, old things have passed away. And now all things have become brand new. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about this morning? Who's living a new life this morning? I'm not just talking about salvation and your spiritual condition of being saved. I prefaced the whole message this morning by saying I'm speaking primarily to believers today. I want you to understand this morning that your life in salvation looks differently, it feels differently, it's full of hope, it's full of life, it's full of dreams for God, it's full of fulfillment, it is full of words of hope and wisdom and character and integrity and being driven by the great things of God. And every time that the enemy douses you with that discouragement and that disillusionment, that you have got to do things and be the same way that you've always been, I want you to rise up with courage and faith and say to the enemy right now, I want you to say it with all your heart, with authority of the name of Jesus Christ, and say, no, I refuse to live in my second chance the way I wasted my life in my first chance. I will make it count. I will make it count in the name of Jesus. Come on. If you receive it this morning, say a good amen right now. Come on. Let's praise Him right now. Give God a praise right now. Jesus, Jesus. Everybody bow your head for just a moment. Close your eyes and bow your head for just a moment. Just stay comfortable. I've described a life of the last little while of victory and hope. And I've described a life this morning of newness and vision and great dreams and great things for God. I'll say this life begins at salvation. Doesn't begin when you just keep trying to be better doesn't begin when you just decide to keep coming to church. Doesn't begin when you decide to become more religious. Because relative to your salvation and your new life, all those things are wonderful, but they are absolutely irrelevant. No, the life I'm talking about begins the moment of your belief and repentance. The moment you go to Jesus and say, I'm ready. I'm ready to begin this life with you, Lord. And today, if you're within the sound of my voice in this room, in this auditorium, I invite you to become a great believer. It's just the gospel this morning. If I can pray with you this morning to start this kind of relationship and victory and finally start making it count, you're ready to get back with Jesus? Wave at me, guys. Who's here today that I can pray with? Say, I'm ready for a brand new life in the Lord. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Who else? I see your hand back there. Come on. Anybody else starting brand new with the Lord right now? I see your hand back there. Come on, let's linger here for just a moment. We've had five individuals today make decisions to begin with Jesus. Is there anybody else? You're tired of spinning your wheels. You're ready to give it to God. Y'all can put your hands down. This is the moment. This is why we're here. One more moment. It's the reason he came and gave his life. He went to the cross and gave his life so that you could be forgiven. You could be reconciled. That means joined back up with God's plan and the Father's presence. You can have a relationship with God. Just one more moment. Love you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. How we love you, Jesus, Jesus. Come on, let's all stand to our feet real quick, guys.
Thank you for joining us online today. We want to connect with you and your family. We would love for you to submit a connect card on our website or scan the QR code on the screen. Check out the website for more information about everything going on here at Loxley. It would be an honor to pray for you and your family. Leave a comment or share with us something that spoke to you in today's service. We can't wait to see you on campus soon. Reach out to us. We would love to hear from you. We pray that God will bless you and your family. Thank you for tuning in today. See you next time.